Welcome to the FantasyGuru.com Franchise Focus Podcast. Now here's Matt Kemp, Joe Dolan, and Tom Brawley.
We welcome you back to another edition of the Franchise Focus Podcast here at FantasyGuru.com. Matt Kemp, Joe Dolan, and Tom Brawley getting ready to talk about the Chicago Bears new coaching staff after the failing of last season by Mark Trestman and company. They keep Jay Cutler around. Brandon Marshall is now a New York Jet. We'll get into all of that, the moves that they have made, the losses, the ads, the fantasy implications, and where they could be looking in the NFL draft coming up at the end of April. And if you want to get your questions in for future podcasts, you can use the hashtag FranchiseFocus, tweet them to us at FantasyGuruSite, at the Matt Kemp, at FG underscore Dolan, at FG underscore Brawley. We will answer them for you either on Twitter or on future podcasts with a couple left to go in our final week of the Franchise Focus Podcast series. Still have to hit the Jets, the Redskins, the Raiders, Jaguars, Titans, waiting on the Vikings, still obviously with the Peterson situation, and we'll finish up with the Tampa Bay Buccaneers ahead of the NFL draft, which is just over a week away, coming to you from Chicago, in fact. But before all of that, we got to tell you about FanDuel, because they're changing the way people play fantasy sports. It's more fun than ever. Don't wait another day. Sign up now to play one-day fantasy baseball at FanDuel.com. They're the leaders in one-day fantasy baseball for real money with immediate cash payouts. Entry fees start at just $1. Stop waiting 6 months to win a league. Play today and win tonight. Joe, if you were watching maybe the Red Sox on Patriots Day on Monday, you could have gotten involved with FanDuel right off the bat.
Oh, yeah. And if you're sitting at work, you've got the Monday blues, and you're like, I'm sick of this crap. Oh, there's baseball on? Put a couple bucks in, see where that goes. Could have been a fun day for you.
Indeed. Joe Watson was having fun. He played fantasy sports on FanDuel for less than 2 weeks and won over $30,000. Join him and the over 1 million other users who have already won money. FanDuel's paying out more than $2.5 million every single day this MLB season, but you have to play to win, so sign up today. Go to FanDuel.com and click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner. Use our code GURU and sign up now. Special offer for new users. For every dollar you deposit, FanDuel will match it with up to $200 that gets earned as you play. That's a bonus of up to $200. Offers only good for the first 50 people that use our code GURU. Don't forget to use our code GURU. FanDuel.com, where every day is a new season. That's FanDuel.com. FanDuel.com. Sign up today. So as we get into the Bears here, guys, 2014 was certainly a step back after what happened in 2013. And just 2 years, Mark Trestman already gone from the Chicago Bears. And for us, for fantasy, that is not a good thing, because they go from Mark Trestman, who made them a very fantasy-friendly team, very easy to recognize. You had fantasy value and big-time fantasy value in Brandon Marshall and Alshon Jeffrey and Matt Forte. Bartellus Bennett's coming off a great season in 2014. You know, Jay Cutler struggle, but still put some fantasy numbers up, and you go from Mark Trestman leading the way to John Fox. That's not good news.
Well, for fantasy, it could be fine, because John Fox brought Adam Gase with him, but then the question becomes, who is Adam Gase? Now, he seemed to have the respect of Peyton Manning. That's a good endorsement for me. However, was the offense Adam Gase's, or was it Peyton Manning's? How much of it was Peyton Manning's? And I think you're fooling yourself if you think it was entirely or mostly Adam Gase's offense, because I really don't think that was the case.
And you're going, you know, John Fox, what do we know? In other
Loves
times,
to run the ball.
Likes to run the football. And after
Play
the
defense.
Issues that they had, you know,
quarterback wasn't very good last year.
Right. And there has not exactly been ringing endorsements of Jay Cutler. It sounds like he's getting a year. And they're going to see what they have.
And they shipped away Brandon Marshall.
They did that move quick.
You know, weakened the receivers, too.
Yeah. And now, for Jay Cutler, look, I've defended him a lot. I'm over that. And I did it more so in the last couple of years because he was in the Trestman offense. But it clearly did not work out for him last season. I know at times there was injuries to Jeffrey and Marshall, but at this point, Cutler was just pushing too much. I will point out that, once again, the defense stunk, and you're asking him to do too much. But when you do that, You ask Cutler to lead you back from 14 down every single game, he's going to make mistakes. He's going to throw picks. That is something he needs to correct. I think they scale back on him in a big way in 2015.
He won't correct it. We're beyond
that. Yeah, we have enough of a sample size at this point.
We're beyond that. I'm not telling you Jay Cutler can't have a good year or two. He's talented. He's had good years in the past. At this point, we've got a Jeff George. We've got a guy who can throw the football. In the right situation, maybe he stays healthy. The stars all align the right way. And he has a 30-touchdown, 13-interception type of season. That's the best we can hope for from Jay Cutler at this point. The guy is not good.
You bring in a John Fox, too. You're going to scale back the offense, take the ball out of Cutler's hands a little bit more, and they'll probably eventually move on from him once they get the chance. But, you know, they probably at least another year with Jay Cutler here. But he's not going to have the ball in his hands as nearly as much as last year. And they're going to spend the resources to improve this defense just a little bit. Jeez, that defense was horrible last year. That's why, you know, Cutler and those receivers were able to put up some of those massive numbers.
Cutler threw the ball 561 times last year. Completed 66% of his passes, actually. 3,812 yards, 28 touchdowns to 18 interceptions, 198 on the ground with two rushing touchdowns. 22.3 fantasy points per game, was the number 8 quarterback in our fantasyguru.com standard scoring, although that does not penalize for interceptions or turnovers. So that 18 interceptions is a pretty big number. But
Buried him.
I mean, this thing is, though, I think they scale back. I mean, I don't see Cutler throwing the ball 550 times again. And if it is, it's because the defense stinks.
Is that bad again?
I think they'll be a little bit better. But let's talk about what the Bears now have in the offense. What can we be excited about here? So Cutler loses Marshall. They do add Eddie Royal. You have Marcus Wilson there to theoretically step in on the outside. So now you go with Wilson and Jeffrey and Royal. Not a bad group at all there. Still have Matt Forte. They add Quiz Rogers there as a backup. You have Kadeem Carey in that backfield as well. And Martellus Bennett. So it's still a pretty good group here. You know, I think when we go into the year, we still feel pretty good about Jeffrey. You still feel very good about Forte. I mean, Forte will be a first-round pick once again. Jeffrey will be, I think, in the top 3 rounds. We'll look at his NFL 10 data in a little bit. But I think those two guys are the only two you feel really, really good about. And then everybody else, you kind of wait and see with this team and what kind of offense is this going to look like and how much of the ground game is going to be featured compared to years past. Will the defense be better to maybe take the offense off the field a little bit more?
The Bears are one of those teams where I could see them being just absolutely awful, or I don't want to say that they're going to be good.
Don't they seem like an 8-8 team at their best?
I don't think good, but I think they could be a team that could be competitive and put up some offensive points.
Yeah, I mean, they probably weren't nearly as good as they were in 2013, but they're not nearly as bad as what we saw in 2014.
They scream 8-8 at best, though,
yeah.
To me.
Yeah.
And look, the question I have is, what is Adam Gase? I already asked it. Is this guy... Now, was Adam Gase the driving force behind the Broncos realizing that Peyton was banged up at the end of last year and they had to go to C.J. Anderson to lead the offense? If that's Gase making that decision, well, then I think the Bears are in good hands. If that was it Peyton saying, guys, I can't do this? Was it John Fox? I could see John Fox. I mean, the guy is the head coach saying something like that. That was a good decision.
It was.
Now, it didn't, obviously, the Broncos, it was too little too late for the Broncos because without Peyton at top level, they couldn't win in the playoffs, but...
But does this idea happen right off the bat with the Bears? Because we heard nothing positive about Marshall, he was gone. They were able to move on from him. They're not really able to get out from Jay Cutler's money or that trade or anything like that now, and we didn't hear anything positive about him. So do you go into the season thinking, let's make sure Jay's not throwing the ball 30 times if we can avoid that?
Here's the issue, and the issue is Matt Forte. The touches on this guy's body, the hits on his body, and look, he's really good at like getting out of bounds and avoiding the big hit.
But he's been great. Yeah. He hasn't slowed down yet. He's number 3 last year. We keep waiting for him to slow down.
He did
but
average
it hasn't happened.
9 yards per carry last year.
Right, that's
not a great number. Bad offensive line. The catches
that's
were
always huge.
And by the way, also, that last game where he broke the Larry Sanders record with 102 receptions, I mean, he had like 8 catches for 26 yards.
Right.
I mean, it was
Let's get him a record.
Let's get him a
right, I get that. But he's always been a guy that has had his fantasy value boosted big time by his catches. I don't think that changes all
Matt
that much.
Forte played 92% of the Bears' offensive snaps last year.
Unheard of at running
back. That's ridiculous. That's as much as an offensive lineman plays. I mean, it's unheard of. I'm not a big Kadeem Carey guy. I don't know if running backs a need for that.
Well, that's what I was going to bring up.
They brought in Rodgers. You know, that can take away a little bit away from his catches there.
I think they're going to look at running back in the draft because if Fox wants to run the football, he may look to add someone else in the draft. We talked about Jaquizz Rodgers in the Falcons podcast, not giving you a lot of production. Yes, he can pass block, and that's helpful. Joe mentioned Kadeem Carey. We've talked about him a lot, not really showing you anything. 92% of the snaps, they didn't even want to look at him last year. Do they want to bring in one of their own guys, a young player here, maybe for the future, and maybe also to take a little bit off of Forte's plate this year if they want to run the ball a bunch, and I think they will.
And the question is, Jaquizz Rodgers does one thing really well. He's an all right receiver, but he does one thing really well, and that's pass protect. Does that take reps from Forte at those fantasy-friendly positions? Now, Gase, in Denver, ran very heavily one-back stuff.
Right.
Once again, is that because Peyton is running hurry-up offense? Is that because Peyton wants the one guy out there? Or is it Adam Gase?
And also, let's note, it was three different guys that were the one-back guys. So, it was Monty Ball early, then it was Hillman, then it was C.J. Anderson. So, you could kind of deal with the carries that pile up there because you had three different guys handle that one back roll, where in Chicago you would think that's Matt Forte, but they go, okay, we're going to go in here, we want to run the ball 25 times a game, 25, 30 times a game. Do we need to get somebody else in here? Is Rodgers a nice guy to have to protect us for, you know, to have him there, but do we look in the draft and maybe the third or fourth round and go get a running back for the future as well, not just for this year, but they got to think down the road with all of the touches that Forte's had.
We had a similar talk about this with the Falcons too, though. They have a lot of glaring holes all over the field.
Right.
Do you feel like running back is that much of a need position, especially if you have Matt Forte? Do you want to use a pick on a, you know, first, second, third round pick on a running back when you already have a guy like Matt Forte?
That's a good point as well. I mean, they didn't draft, obviously, Kadeem Carey, but they did bring in Quiz Rodgers. I think that's a fair point. You go, do we just ride Forte until, you know,
the wheels fall off?
I always say it's a business, and you can't think, oh, well, you know, we got to be careful with them. No, they're going to ride him until they can't anymore, and then they maybe go to the next guy next year or whatever it may be. If he stays healthy enough, I think they will, you know, probably stick with him because they know he can get it done. I think that's always been something with the Bears. For all their ups and downs and the different coordinators, different coaches, Matt Forte has been the one guy, the constant, and the constant who has always played at a high level with a ton of touches. And I think that's where we get worried. Now, we talk about the receiving core here, guys, and Alshon Jeffrey was another great year. Finished as the number 13 wide receiver. A little bit banged up, but played in every game. 85, 11, 33, 13.3 yards per catch, 10 touchdowns, 144 targets, 22 red zone targets, 16.4 fantasy points per game. He's the man of this offense. I think we were very happy to see that it wasn't a fluke in his second season, that he continued to build on that. But it was a very pass-happy, fantasy-friendly offense. Where do we like Alshon Jeffrey, you know, after finishing 13, where he's now the number one guy? You have Wilson, inexperienced, missed a lot of time last year with the injury. You have Eddie Royal, who does have some time with Jay Cutler going back to the start of his career, reliable. You still have Bennett there, but Jeffrey at 13, do we think of him more in the, you know, 19-20 range? Do we still think he could be at this number if we're worried about the passing game maybe being scaled back a bit?
Well, here's the question. Jeffrey was a top 10 receiver in targets, red zone targets, and goal line targets. So while he had a very nice season, you could argue that at number 13, he underachieved at the receiver position. Number one, how much of that is on Jeffrey? He was banged up. Remember, he had the hamstring that he kind of dealt with all year. He hurt that early on in the season and kind of dealt with it all year. How much is on Cutler? I think that's the simplest explanation, that a lot of that is on Jay Cutler. Ultimately, I think Jeffrey's actually a pretty good receiver for Cutler because he's really good on contested catches.
Yes.
Yep.
And Cutler will throw the ball up into the air.
He'll help out Jay for those, yes.
That's the one thing Cutler will do, for better or for worse, is he'll throw to a covered receiver.
I know that he's going to be the top receiver. Marshall is out of the picture here, but this just screams regression to me. I mean, he's just the guy I'm not going to be actively looking at second, third round, even though he's the undisputed, you know, number one receiver here. You know, all those targets, and he had to have so much volume just to get to 13 overall that it just scares me. And with John Fox there, I think they're going to scale back the offense, you know, like we've been saying all throughout this podcast. So it just screams regression to me.
Entering year four, you go, oh, he's a young receiver, he'll get better. But I'm with you. I'm not saying skill-wise he won't get better, and you know, what he puts together in terms of his development won't get, but in terms of the numbers, yes, I do see him coming back. Now, where is he going as it stands now in NFL
22.81 overall pick, late second-round pick. He is the ninth receiver off the board.
Wow, so he's higher.
There's two receivers for sure I would take over him. Randall Cobb is going after him. I would definitely take him over Jeffrey.
Yes.
Mike Evans, I would probably take over him.
I would too.
But then you get into MFL 10 guys. There's T.Y. Hilton at 12. Hilton might be more of an MFL 10 guy, although he was a targeted
man. No, I'd take Hilton.
But he'll be getting Andre Johnson added to the offense. They don't have anybody like that at any.
Then DeAndre Hopkins at 13. That depends. What do you feel about DeAndre Hopkins? I'd take Jeffrey.
Yeah, I would too.
Then Emmanuel Sanders, who's coming off a monster year, but how much better can he get?
I don't know. I kind of like him this year. Yeah, he's going to be playing on the slot more with Peyton Manning.
What
could
Kubiak? Is it?
I'd definitely take Sanders over my thing.
Kubiak's never had a fantasy relevant number two receiver. I don't. How much do you buy into that?
Is that Kevin Walter from?
Yeah, Kevin Walter was
then Kelvin Benjamin, then Brandon Cooks. I think Jeffrey's probably going maybe one, two, or three receivers too high.
At least,
but you know what? There is kind of a pretty clear tier or a pretty clear break between the number one receivers and the number twos. We say receivers deep, and I think at the top it's true, but there does seem to be kind of a crater where you're like, well, these guys are going this high, and then I think Jeffrey might be the guy who kind of blurs the 1-2 line. He's either a low one or a really good two. I'm not sure there's a lot of guys like that. So I think Jeffrey is overall probably going in a pretty fair spot. I would take Cobb over him.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think you can make a good argument for taking Evans over him, even though you don't know who's
throwing the ball yet.
But other than that, I think it's a pretty fair spot for Jeffrey, and that makes him an interesting guy. I think you can make an argument that there might be some second-round running backs who are a little bit more interesting than him.
Yeah, that's why I might not be too afraid to take a receiver in the first round there. Get the guy you want in that first round of your fantasy draft, and then get a running back in the second round.
And we talk about the other guys here, like Wilson. Joe, I know you were excited when Marshall got traded, because you go, I have him in our fantasy guru dynasty league, but are you pumped knowing, like we said, it's a lot of question marks with Gase here and Cutler. What do you expect to have Wilson? Like, where is he in your list? I mean, he's your four?
God, I have no idea. He's a four, maybe. I would rather have him as like a five.
Yeah. There's a lot of talk that they could take receiver first round, too, which is scary for his value.
There's a drop, obviously, in talent from Marshall to Wilson, but there's also a change in the offense.
Oh, this is definitely an Amari Cooper spot.
Yeah.
If Cooper or Kevin White falls. This is Marcus Wilson is a talented player who I think could break out.
But he's never done it.
It depends on what the price is. Right on average, 57th wide receiver off the board. Makes him a low number five. However, take into account that a lot of this data comes before the Brandon Marshall trade. So the highest he has gone is pick 84 overall, which is the late
70s.
Now, that's outrageous. Yeah. But, I mean, there's a chance you might have
to take must be his mom that took him that high. I mean, yeah.
Now, let's move on to Martellus Bennett here. Last season, 90 for 916, 125 targets, 6 touchdowns, 21 red zone targets. One of 4 tight ends to have at least 20 red zone targets last season. 13.6 fantasy points per game. Now, he was real big early on, if we remember. Had at least 16.7 fantasy points in his first 4 games. Fell off a little bit. When you go from week 10 on, hit double digits just 3 times. But he feels like he could be, if they scale back the offense, a pretty reliable guy. I mean, I don't know if I expect 90 catches, but he's a pretty reliable guy here for Jay Cutler. And I think in this offense, he's a good blocker. You know, he's always talked about, I want to move the chains. I could be that kind of guy. If the touchdowns come, they come. I don't expect 90 catches from him, but I still think you consider him a top eight tight end heading into this year.
Yeah, and I think he's the clear-cut number two receiver now in this offense. I mean, with Marshall gone, I mean, Wilson hasn't proven anything. We like his talent, but he hasn't shown anything. He never showed anything in college either. So.
Royal's nice out of the slot, Royal's but nice. I would agree. But I like Bennett there.
Yeah, but like we said, 90 catches, that's pretty lofty. The guy, I think the next closest season he ever had was 25 catches away from that. Oh. So, I mean, that is a huge outlier.
And by the way, speaking of, Martellus Bennett did not produce the consistency that you would think a 90-catch season would produce. Games of 15 or more fantasy points in a PPR in each of his first four, the rest of the year, three times in the last 12 games. So we're talking about a guy who's always been inconsistent for fantasy. Now, I'm not telling you, had Martellus Bennett, chances are that was a guy who started every week.
Yeah. The state of the tight end position, he's still going to be a top six, top seven option.
Let's compare that to 2013, his first year at the Bears. 65, 7, 59, 5 touchdowns, 94 targets, 10.7 fantasy points per game. I'm thinking more in that region, maybe a little bit better than that.
70 to 75, but that was a huge outlier season last season.
Oh, yeah, I agree. The 90 catch, I mean, 65. I mean, he has improved, though. Let's say this. From 11 to 12 to 13 to 14, every year he's gotten better. And that's a tip of the cap to him. It didn't work out in Dallas. They thought he was going to overtake Witten at some point. It didn't work. He got better with the Giants the next year. And then the last 2 years of the Bears, he's gotten better and better. I think he comes back a little bit. But, I mean, you still feel good about him as a top eight guy?
You have to. I'm not thrilled about him, though. I like his talent. I think he's probably a guy I'm staying away from.
That's what I was going to say. Probably for the spot that he's going, I probably would hold off another round or two and take a tight end later.
And here's the thing. That's exactly what you can do.
Yep.
In NFL 10s, Bennett is coming off the board on average about pick 71.5, which makes him a late sixth-round pick, early seventh round. After Bennett, there's essentially a two full-round drop-off to the next tight ends, who are Zach Ertz and Jordan Cameron. I might rather pass on taking Martellus Bennett, wait, and then maybe get like an Ertz and Eifert pairing, or an Ertz or even Jason Witten, who's going in like the 12th round, that type of pairing. I just don't feel great about Bennett in this offense. It's not a great situation for me because I don't have faith in Kotler anymore, and I don't know what they're going to look like. And I think they're a big threat to take Cooper or Kevin White in the first round.
Yeah, that would, if they go receiver first round, that could change his potential value going forward.
So it really is depending on where he's going in August, but it seems that fantasy players have clearly identified Bennett as the bottom of the second tier of tight end. And tier one, in my opinion, is 1A is Gronk by himself, and then 1B is Graham, who is starting to fall since the Seattle trade. And then it's Kelce, Olsen, Julius, and Bennett. And that's the tier two. I think Bennett is the least appealing of those guys.
I would agree. And in this offense, it's a bit of a question mark. We certainly think he'll fall off a little bit. So as we get into the draft here, guys, as Tom mentioned before, like the Falcons, a lot of needs for this team. And the defense is where you start. I mean, it's not the Bear defense that, they had that reputation and all that carry the team with defense. The defense has been terrible.
Especially
the last
secondary. The safety position has been atrocious, really. I mean, they brought in Antrell Roll to try to strengthen that. And they have this Brock Vereen that they liked a lot last year. But they really need a lot of help at safety and overall the entire defense.
This is a team that, if they took an edge rusher, I don't think you could knock them for that at all.
They brought in Jared Allen last year, and he just didn't produce nearly
Shane
as much.
Shane McClellan looks like a bust. Maybe the switch to the 3-4 is going to help them out under Vic Fangio. Now, see, here's the thing. I think Fangio is a guy who's going to get more out of this defense. He's a guy who's going to be like, I can coach this up. But they need help basically across the board. I think, as you might have mentioned, corners a need. Tim Jennings is getting older. Kyle Fuller showed some things last year, so...
And of course, if John Fox is putting his fingerprints all over this and they want to run the ball more, the offensive line might be...
Offensive line, definitely.
We're talking about a lot of needs here for the team, and this brings up a Twitter question here from James. Should the Bears trade down for more picks because either the second quarterback or second wide receiver, second edge rusher will be there? So I think the idea is, kind of like what we talked about with the Falcons, is... because they have so many needs, is it worth it for them to trade down and acquire some more picks in this draft? And you would think that would make sense with Fox coming in there in his first year, putting his fingerprint on, okay, I'm bringing in more of my guys. And maybe that would make sense for the Bears to get out of that spot. Or
that makes really sense for a lot of teams in that top 10 of the draft. Right. I mean, it's not very easy to exactly do that unless you get blown away like the Bills did with the Browns last year and give up a ton.
There's a reason they're picking that high.
Yeah.
So, I mean, yes, I get it. It makes sense. And, you know, like I said, does Fox want to put his fingerprint on the team and I'm going to bring in as many guys as I can and I'm going to start this tenure with my draft picks. Here's the draft class. We're going strong on defense. And do they look at running back? I think that's the thing. Now, let's say running back. Are we expecting if they get one day three kind of guy?
Yeah, I would say maybe fourth, fifth round was when they'd start looking.
That's a solid spot for them because the running back position is so deep in this draft that you can get a very interesting player.
Nothing that would hurt Forte's value.
Not for this year.
I think Rodgers is the one that hurts
Rodgers
value.
Rodgers might hurt some because I just think Rodgers is pretty useless unless he's playing on third down. And that's where a lot of Forte's value has come in the last couple of years.
It's the whole Bennett thing. I mean, would we be shocked if both of those guys, you know, saw 30 fewer catches next year?
I think that's a possibility. And wide receiver, you guys have mentioned this could be a big spot for the Bears.
And where's Forte going to go? And this is what's really fascinating because it's, in my opinion, not a great team. But they've had some fantasy reliability. Where would you guys feel comfortable drafting Matt Forte?
About 5 or 6, probably overall.
Well, he's going about 8 and 9 overall.
Oh, really? I'm kind of surprised by that.
He is the fourth running back on average, but Bell, Charles, and Lacy are pretty generally the top three.
I was going to say, that sounds like he's the start of the second tier.
It's like people don't really know where to take him.
And that's the thing. I'd rather take a receiver.
Are you going to take Antonio Brown or Forte? I'd probably rather take Brown.
Yeah.
Odell Beckham's an interesting one. Would you rather take Odell Beckham or Matt Forte? Dez Bryant. Julio might be the one that, like, it's going to come down to, am I taking Forte or am I taking Julio?
Right. Yes. Circling back to the wide receivers here, you guys mentioned some big names that could go, and you wonder what would that do to fantasy values of a guy like Jeffrey. You know, Wilson, does that mean, okay, we don't believe in Wilson? If they take a big-time wide receiver,
I think so a lot. If they take a receiver, number 7 overall, that shows me a lot about what they think of Wilson.
But I think a receiver could very well be the best player on the board. That too.
Is that a big enough need for them, though?
I think they would be better off looking elsewhere, but...
Yeah, I mean, this is an extremely deep wide receiver class.
Yep.
So they could get an interesting guy in the third round.
I think they're way better off doing something like that. I think with the group that they have now, and I think the direction we think this offense is going to go into, I don't think they need to go big time.
If they don't want to go Cooper or White, they could be a trade down candidate from a team around 10 or 11 that thinks Amari Cooper or Kevin White is the spot.
I don't think a John Fox team is taking a wide receiver 7. I just don't think that, especially with how bad this defense has been the last 2 years. I just don't see that happening at all. So certainly going to be interesting for the draft, for the Bears. Probably be more of a boring draft, to be honest with you, as you look at everything. But I think they may need that after how things have gone the last 2 seasons with John Fox taking over. As we say, you can always get your questions in. Use the hashtag FranchiseFocus. Tweet them to us at FantasyGuruSite, at the Matt Camp, at FG_Dolan, at FG_Brawley. And one more reminder about FanDuel, because they are in full swing with MLB season entering its third week. Don't wait another day. Sign up now to play one day fantasy baseball at FanDuel.com. Real money with immediate cash payouts. Entry fees start at just $1, and you don't have to wait 6 months to win a league. Play today and win tonight. Note that season-long commitment, and if you dealt with injuries early on, Tom, in your season-long leagues, they could put a damper on a start to the season. FanDuel, you could just go, okay, I'm not worried about those guys.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about injuries in FanDuel. You can get anybody, anytime, and you don't have to deal with those injury guys.
Joe Watson from New York played fantasy sports on FanDuel for less than 2 weeks and won over $30,000. Over 1 million other users have already won money, and FanDuel is paying out more than $2.5 million every single day this MLB season, but you have to play to win, so sign up today. Go to FanDuel.com and click on the microphone in the upper right-hand corner. Use our code GURU and sign up now. Here is the special offer for new users. For every dollar you deposit, FanDuel will match it with up to $200 that gets earned as you play. That's a bonus of up to $200. Offers only good for the first 50 people that use our code GURU. Don't forget to use our code GURU. FanDuel.com, where every day is a new season. That's FanDuel.com. FanDuel.com. Sign up today. Once again, a reminder that the early bird special at FantasyGuru.com ends at the end of April. $24.95 for the season. That's $5 off the regular price. And I know you'll be gearing up in July and August and into the season for all of our big-time content there. But we have plenty going up even now, including these franchise-focused podcasts, the post-free agency podcast, the pre-draft rookie report podcast with John Hansen and Greg Cosell, the pre-draft rookie report Joe and Tom did, and they'll be diving right back into the post-draft rookie report, get a better idea of the rankings, where these guys are going, who to feel good about, who to maybe back off a little bit. That'll be coming as soon as the draft is over. We'll be on top of the draft, of course. You can check out Mike Horn's offensive identity analysis articles with the new coaches landing in new spots. He looks at the quarterbacks, running backs, receivers, and tight ends. Gives you a lot of charts and graphs to give you a nice visual representation. Plenty coming your way here at FantasyGuru.com. So check all of that out. For Joe Dolan and Tom Brawley, I'm Matt Camp. Thanks for listening to another edition of the Franchise Focus Podcast right here at FantasyGuru.com.